Okay, we started last week a class that we talked about there being 13 qualities of leaven in this particular lesson, and we covered four of them last week. So for me, that's great progress, right? You get four out of 13, and that's like success. This is Josh's class, and he gave me two classes to teach, and so I contacted him last week. I said, okay, I covered four out of 13. You want me to go on to the next lesson you gave me to teach, or do you want me to try to cover a few more? So Josh said, go ahead and stick with this topic of leaven. This particular lesson is one that some of you have heard before because it's out of a book that Brother Wendell Winkler wrote a number of years ago. A number of years ago. I'll just leave it at that. That is called The Christian and His Influence. And so a lot of the concepts for this particular series is out of that book that he wrote on that title. And he has a lesson in this book on the effect of leaven. And he's got these 13 qualities. So these are not 13 qualities that I came up with. They're just 13 that Brother Winkler had in his book. And it's interesting, if you were to sit down and say, what are some qualities of leaven that apply to us as Christians today? I don't think I would have come up with anywhere near 13. And yet he did, and it's interesting to see just how they do apply to us. Now, what does this have to do with us? Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. When you turn to Matthew chapter 13, you are looking at the kingdom parables. The parables where Jesus so often started them by saying the kingdom of heaven is like this, the kingdom of heaven is like this, and so forth. And so you've got that throughout Matthew chapter 13. You have some longer parables in that chapter. But here in chapter 13 and verse 33, you have a one-verse parable. And it's amazing that out of one verse, Brother Winkler would get 13 points. But if you ever heard, we had Wendell Winkler down here for a gospel meeting, early 90s, I would say it was, Brother Winkler was one of my favorite preachers, and if you ever heard him preach, you would understand him having 13 points in this particular lesson. But in Matthew 13, verse 33, what does Jesus say? Another parable Jesus spoke to them: the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. What's the kingdom of heaven? Somebody said it softly. You can say it louder if you want. It's the church. Scott's stealing somebody else's answer. He heard somebody else answer it, and so now he's saying it, which is not a bad thing to do. When the answer is right, it's not a bad thing to steal the right answer. So the kingdom is the church. So Jesus is saying, insert the church for kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying the church is like leaven. Well, what's the church? Don't say the kingdom, okay? That would be a cheat answer. What'd you say, Scott? It's the people. So if the church, if the kingdom is like leaven, then the people who make up the Lord's church are like leaven. Did you ever consider yourself to be like leaven? Maybe not, but that's the description here. The church is like the sower who went out to sow, and there's a lot of descriptions that are here in chapter 13. The church is like leaven that a woman took, hid in three measures of meal until it was all leaven. And so we looked at four qualities last week. We're not going to go through all of these again, but just let me show these four to you, and then we'll get on to some other ones here. We looked at the quality of leaven, that it is a silently working force. It doesn't make a lot of noise. It just goes about its work and gets it done without drawing a lot of attention to itself. Is that a good quality for us to have? We looked at the quality that leaven influences but is not influenced. The leaven, once you stick it in, is not going to be influenced by the dough. It's going to influence the other. And isn't that the way we should be? Should we be the influencer and not the influencee? We looked at the quality that leaven works persistently, that once you put it in, you can't stop it. And so it works persistently. It works unceasingly through so that the majority is, even though the majority is against it, the leaven is smaller than the lump of dough that it's put into, and yet it just keeps working. No matter what the rest of the world wants, is that a good quality for us to have? Is the majority against us? Sure. Does that mean we just stop? No, the leaven keeps on working. And then we saw the quality that leaven, in order for leaven to work, leaven has to be mixed with the substance in order to influence. If you keep leaven all by itself over in a jar all alone, what's it going to do? It's not going to do its job. Leaven's job is not to sit in a jar with other leaven. It's not its job. Leaven's jar is to be put into that lump of dough. And the only way it can influence something is for it to be placed there. Now, is there a difference between being in the dough and not of the dough? Is there be a difference between in the world and not of the world? I'll clarify that for you, Scott. Is there a difference between being in the world but not of the world? Is there a difference between that? So that's our responsibility. We have to make contact with the world. Doesn't mean we become like them. It doesn't mean that we are influenced by them. But the only way for us to reach somebody with the gospel is to go and to make contact with that person. So those were the four qualities that we looked at some last week. There's some overlap in some of these, but I find it kind of intriguing how different some of these qualities are. Leaven works from the inside to the outside. Is that true? Leaven works from the inside to the outside. I don't know if you all have noticed this, and I jinxed two things earlier today, so I don't want to do it again. But I don't know if y'all have noticed it, but the AC is working. I've been feeling it for about the last 5 minutes, but I just thought I'd share that news with you. So now, the mind has great power, doesn't it? Now that you know the AC is working, guess what your body temperature just did? See, the mind is a powerful thing. So it is working. So if you sit here for another 2.5 hours, it will be down to the right temperature. Just throwing that out there. Okay, so leaven works from the inside to the outside. What does that have to do with us? Do we need to guard our hearts? Can things get into our hearts and influence us from the inside to the outside? Yeah, we've got to be mindful that as a man thinks in his stomach, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, Proverbs 23 and verse 7. The Bible tells us to keep your heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it flow the issues of life, Proverbs 4 and verse 23. So we've got to be careful what goes in, because what comes into us is going to permeate and influence those who are around us. And I'm going to save some of that point for a little bit later, because it kind of overlaps with another point later on. What else is leaven like? Leaven exerts its peculiar influence by virtue of the fact that it is leaven. What does that mean? If leaven is leaven, so what is leaven going to do? What does leaven know how to do? It just knows how to spread, right, Freddie? I mean, does leaven know how to do anything else other than just leaven? That's what it is, right? Leaven is going to leaven. Here we are talking about the Christian and his influence, specifically in this lesson, especially talking about my influence in the world. Jesus said, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Does my influence have anything to do with that? It has everything to do with that. I am trying to influence somebody to obey the gospel of Christ. That has everything to do with the words that I speak. But the words that I speak have no power. They have power if they're the Bible, but they're not going to be listened to or paid attention to if my influence has not been there. So if I'm concerned about if I'm concerned about how to have a good influence in the world, well, why don't I just be a Christian? If I just be a Christian, Will that be the right influence? What if leaven leavens, what does a Christian do? And this is Brother Winkler's word. He makes a verb out of Christian. If leaven leavens, then what's a Christian do? He Christianizes wherever he goes. And I know that's a weird concept, but our job is not to sit around and say, okay, I've got to come up with a fancy way to spread my influence today. I don't need a fancy way to spread my influence. I just need to be a Christian. And the more that I behave like Christ, isn't that the positive influence that the world needs? Sometimes we think, you know, wouldn't it be great if Jesus came back and lived in the world today? Well, guess what Jesus has? He's got us living in the world today. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. What was Paul doing? What does the word imitate? What does that word mean to you? What does it mean to imitate? Act like? Somebody said something else? Copy? Is that what you said, Bonnie? What did you say? Mirror? So I act like Christ, I copy Christ, I mirror Christ, I mimic Christ. And so if I do that in this world, I am exerting that peculiar, is that peculiar? Is being a Christian, is that peculiar? That's different than everybody else around us. And when I do that, the influence of Christ is being spread. And now, back up to that point about leaven. Can you always see how leaven is working? I mean, I know you can see the end result, but can you sit there and watch, literally watch that leaven as it spreads, or are you just seeing the end result? You can't. It's silently working there. What about us? Can we always know what our influence is? Can we always tell what it is? We're not always aware of it. Have you ever been to a funeral and heard stories told about somebody at their funeral and you thought, wow, I didn't know that? To hear the influence that somebody had, and you're like, wow, I never heard that. Somebody's influence is not something that you necessarily can sit and watch, but its long-term effect, that is known. And that can be seen. What do I need to do? Just be a real Christian wherever I go, and to live as a real Christian every day of my life. Another quality about leaven is that obviously leaven changes the substance. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. But it changes the substance into which it is placed into the nature of the leaven itself. Leaven doesn't change that dough. When you put the leaven into the dough, does it change it into a steak? Does it change it into a lobster? I mean, that'd be nice, right? I mean, that'd be kind of cool if it could do that. But it doesn't change it into something else. It just changes it into whatever the leaven does. It changes it into the very nature of the leaven itself. Now, if I'm supposed to be leaven in the world, what does that mean the world becomes like? The world becomes like me. Is that scary? Could that be scary? Could it be scary to think, wow, would it be a good idea if the world looked like me? Would it be a good idea if the world talked like me? That's what leaven does. Leaven, the rest of that dough is affected by that. So would it be a good idea if the world acted like me? Well, isn't that what we're doing when we live as a Christian? Right. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Now, Paul said that. Could we say that? Not in an arrogant, pompous way. But would we be comfortable if our friends imitated us? Would we be comfortable? If they started imitating me, would you be comfortable with that? What if everybody tried to imitate you? Who would they be imitating? That's the question, I guess. Who would they be imitating? If they copied you, mimicked you, mirrored you, all those words we used just a minute ago. That's kind of a personal question, isn't it? That's kind of an uneasy question. But that's the nature of leaven. Jesus says the church, the people, are like leaven. And you put it in the meal and it leavens until the whole lump is leavened. Well, that's another quality about leaven. Leaven multiplies. Leaven is contagious. Did the early church grow? When you read the book of Acts, did the early church grow? Did it grow a little bit or a lot? On the first day, how many members of the church were there on the first day? About 3,000. Is that pretty good growth from zero to 3,000? And not that there were zero. I understand there were 12 apostles and 120 disciples. But when it says that 3,000 were added to them, is that pretty good growth to add 3,000 in one day? You go fast forward, and now it's up to 5,000. And you fast forward, and all of a sudden, the Bible says that there were many being added unto the Lord. And then the Bible says the number of the disciples, Acts chapter 6 and verse 1 and chapter 6 and verse 7, and chapter 9 and verse 31 uses the word multiplied. That's a different word than the word added, right? I mean, you don't have to be a math genius to know that there's a difference between adding and multiplying. You might need to know if you are going to balance your checkbook properly, you probably need to know the difference between adding and subtracting. Anybody ever made a mistake in your checkbook when you accidentally added when you were supposed to subtract? Mm-hmm. Anybody keep a checkbook and don't raise your hand? The bank does that for us now. But you ever make a mistake adding when you should have subtracted? There's a difference between adding and multiplying. The book of Acts says the number of the disciples was multiplying. How does that happen? How do you go from 3,000 to thousands and thousands? How is it multiplying like that? What were they doing to cause that? They were acting like Jesus. What else were they doing? They were going everywhere and preaching the gospel. That's what they were doing.
A lot of them were from the area and they went back to the area.
Right. When you read Acts chapter 2 and all of those different nations are mentioned in Acts chapter 2 of those Jews who were dwelt in Jerusalem there for the day of Pentecost, when those individuals would finally go back home, what were they taking back home with them? They're taking Christ back home with them. And so that the gospel was spreading because of that, but it would only spread when they went back home if they taught the gospel. And there are some individuals that look in Colossians chapter 1 and they see Paul saying in Colossians chapter 1, while he's in prison in Rome about 30 years after the day of Pentecost, there's some people who read Colossians 1 and verse 23 and say, nope, there's no way that happened. Well, Paul said it happened. In fact, the quotation that's up there is verse 23, but verse 6 said something very similar. He said that the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven. Is that true or false? It's in the Bible. I mean, who are we to argue that it and say, oh, it's not possible? And so we, in our intellect, in our brilliant 21st century minds, we look at that and say, oh, no, that couldn't have happened. Paul was just using hyperbole. Prove it. Prove that he's using hyperbole. Prove that it didn't happen. Because the book of Colossians is written, historically, you read through the book of Acts, you get to Acts chapter 28, Paul is imprisoned in Acts chapter 28 in Rome, and that's when he sits down and writes Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. So Paul writes Colossians after the book of Acts. You read through the book of Acts, do you have a really hard, is it really all that hard to believe? They really did preach the gospel to every creature. That they were setting out to do that. There was no stop in their go into all the world. There was no stop in it. They were absolutely determined to go everywhere that they could. And so leaven multiplies because leaven is contagious. Have you heard anything about something being contagious recently? Y'all been paying attention to any reports about things being contagious? How does something that is contagious, how does that work? Okay, if I had a contagious disease, could somebody in Michigan catch that from me right now? Shake your head. That's not a hard question. I'm not trying to be tricky, okay? If I've got a contagious disease and somebody's in Michigan right now, can they catch that from me right now? Okay. Some of you are saying yes. All right, tell me how they could catch it from me right now. Jackie, could they, if I'm right here and they're in Michigan, could somebody in Michigan catch what I've got right now? Thank you. Okay, this is not a hard question. Some of you are like teenagers. Teenagers are like, I'm just going to say no. Some of teenagers, you ask an easy question, and they're just going to give you the opposite answer because they're teenagers. You ever notice that? Some of you have raised some teenagers. Not a hard question. Okay, so if I've got a contagious disease, well, who could catch the contagious disease from me? Somebody that I walk up to and speak to and I'm around. Right? I walk to you. I'm not going to give it to anybody else, Jackie, just to you. So, but contagious disease works person to person, doesn't it? Okay, if I could not infect a group of people unless I was around that group of people. And what's the point here? What does that say about my responsibility in teaching the gospel? Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to 7.7 billion people. Well, God, I can't do that. But can I teach one person? Well, then that's my responsibility. I may not be able to be contagious, to use that thought for about leaven. I may not be able to be contagious to everybody on the earth, but does that mean I don't try to reach person to person? That, what has been proven over the years to be the most effective the most effective evangelism effort over the years, the most effective effort has been personal evangelism, person to person. Is there a difference between personal evangelism and mass evangelism? Yeah, there's a difference. Is there a difference between you talking to someone at work one-on-one and Phil Sanders' television program that's blast around the globe? Guess which one of those over the years has been proven? I'm not talking about Phil Sanders specifically. I'm just talking about mass evangelism versus personal evangelism. Guess which one of those over the years has been proven to be most effective? The one-on-one. And you that's not what we think. We say, no. If you do the blast effort, that's the most effective. It is effective, yes. And it does spread the seed and give opportunities to individuals that may not have had that opportunity before. But I'm talking about the most effective is one-on-one. And somebody still argues. Somebody still argues, no, that can't be. Go and study it. Go and research evangelism over the and what has worked the most. Now, go and read the book of Acts. What kind of evangelism did they use in the book of Acts? Did they use mass evangelism? Did they get out on the internet? Did they get on the television? Did they get on the radio? What did they do in the book of Acts? One-on-one. Did they come into a city and preach to crowds? Yes, they would come into a city and preach to crowds. Did they have one-on-one discussions? When Paul got to Philippi, was Paul looking for a crowd of people to preach the gospel to when he got to Philippi? Yeah, he always was. He always sought out the synagogue whenever he went to a new city because there in the synagogue would be a crowd of people ripe for picking because they already believe in the God of heaven. He gets to Philippi in Acts chapter 16. There's no synagogue in Philippi. Well, there's going to be a problem with that. Where are you going to find some people? Paul goes down by the riverside and he finds some women praying. But what's interesting about that discussion in Acts chapter 16 about Philippi, what's interesting about that discussion in Acts 16, were there women there at the riverside? It says plural, right? Women were there praying. And then it changes from talking about women, plural, to doing what?
Lydia.
Talking about Lydia. What happened? What happened to those other... the answer is we don't know, okay? What happened to those other women? Maybe Paul had maybe Paul had conversation with... Maybe all of them were baptized. We don't know, okay? What do we know? It went from women to... Lydia. Why? Was she more interested? Did something pique her interest and all of a sudden, you know what, I want to hear more about that. Something happened and there was a one-on-one thing that, and I'm not saying one-on-one because it was Lydia and her household, you know that. But that is the person-to-person. That's how leaven works. Is it gets close to something and it spreads. It gets close to something new and it just, that's the nature of leaven. So when we think about, Lord, I can't go to 7.7 billion people. Okay, but can you go to one? Yep. None of us can say I can't do that. I can go to one.
That one person that they touch will spread the word to the other people and it's going to go.
Yep. That's what 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 says. 2 Timothy 2, see, Scott's a Bible scholar here. He's paraphrasing 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. It says that you go and you commit what you have learned to other men so that they may go and teach others also. So there is that contagious. You know, have you noticed what they say about contagions? That you give it to one person, what happens now? Oh, well, that person now gives it. So now we have this tracing stuff that they try to do. Well, who have you been near? Who have you been near? Oh, well, who were they near? And they try to connect the dots like they were in kindergarten and do connect the dots and everybody. But isn't that the way the gospel should work? I teach it to one person. Isn't that the way the book of Acts went? When Philip preached the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch and the Ethiopian eunuch went back to Ethiopia, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But what do you suppose the Ethiopian did when he got back to Ethiopia? Did exactly what Philip did with him. That's leaven spreading from place to place. Think about this quality about leaven. Leaven causes the mass into which it is inserted to swell, bubble, and even to seethe. Somebody said last week, and this is accurate, that leaven is... they didn't use the word. What word did you use, Bonnie? You didn't say poison.
Corruption.
That leaven is like corruption. It's like it is not a positive influence. It is a somewhat a negative influence because it influence. But here's the deal: leaven gets inserted and it causes something to start to expand, to bloat, to seethe a bit. What's interesting about this word leaven is that it comes from a word that's what it means. It means to boil or to seethe, as in fermentation. Can that smell unpleasant sometimes? It might be a little unpleasant sometimes. Turn to Acts. We were just talking about Acts. Go to Acts chapter 16 for a second. We haven't opened our Bibles enough in class, so do that. Acts chapter 16. And as you're going there, do you remember what Ahab called Elijah? In 1 Kings chapter 18, when they had that confrontation, do you remember what Ahab called Elijah? Say it again. Ye troubler of Israel. That's not nice. Why did he call him a troubler of Israel? Because Elijah was out there doing what God told him to do, and Ahab didn't like it because it was trouble in his mind. You're stirring up trouble, all right? That's background. Come to Acts chapter 16. Look in, this is when Paul and Silas are in Philippi. We don't have time to dig into all of this. Paul cast out the demon out of this slave girl, starting about verse 16. Verse 19 says, when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them in the marketplace to the authorities, and they brought them to the magistrates, and they said, these men being Jews do what? Exceedingly trouble our city. Are you kidding me? By doing what? By healing a little girl. Did they do something good? Do something nice? Were they preaching the gospel? Yes. And how were people responding? They're agitated. These people are troublemakers. Could Christians today be called troublemakers? If we don't go along to get along, are we troublemakers? If we stand up and speak out, are we troublemakers? Ye troubler of Israel, was Elijah a bad guy? No, he's doing what God told him to do. Were Paul and Silas bad guys? No, doing what God told them to do. You know chapter 17, Acts chapter 17, verse 6. When they did not find them, the apostles, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. These troublers exceedingly trouble other cities, and they have turned the world upside down. Is that a bad thing? Huh? In a good way. It could be a bad thing. Depends on the context, right? The preaching of the gospel was turning the world upside down. These Christians were causing trouble. Really? What were they doing? Teaching people about Jesus that was changing their life, causing them to be saved from their sins and to start living righteous lives. Yep, that's really bad. We shouldn't have that. What about us today? Are people going to continue to call Christians troublemakers? Are they going to continue to paint us in such a light in the public spectrum that people turn against the church, turn against believers, and try to silence us? If you've had your eyes open and your ears open for any length of time, you know that's the case. So what do we do? Do we just stop? Do we give up and say, well, you know, they don't want to hear it, so I guess we'll... Did Elijah stop? I know he ran and he hid in the cave because he thought he was all alone. And then what did God say to him? Get up and get out of here. I got work for you to do. And there's thousands of other people who are just like you. Let's get working. Here's Paul. Paul gets stoned. Did that stop him? No. He gets beaten. He has all of these issues come up against him where people are trying to stop him. And the more they tried to stop him, the more he kept going. The more people try to stop us, are we different than Paul? Is there some stop in our go? I think sometimes our tendency may be, I'll back off. Does the world need the gospel? Is there anything that's going to change or better our world other than the gospel? And we've got it. It is our responsibility. And so that's an interesting quality about leaven, is that it gets in there and it troubles, it stirs things up, but that's what leaven does. I don't have time to get to all of these. Let me throw a couple more of these up here. I find these things interesting. Leaven renders palatable. If you ever heard Brent Windelwinkler preach, these words are just his. Leaven renders palatable that which it influences. What does that mean? Think about what Barnabas did. Think about what Barnabas did for John Mark. John Mark turned back on Paul's first missionary journey. So when Barnabas wanted to take him on the second missionary journey, Paul was like, great idea, Barnabas. Why didn't I think of that? Is that what Paul said? Can you believe that caused such sharp contention between two preachers that they went their separate ways? Why? Because of this guy named John Mark. To In Acts chapter 15, John Mark was of no use to Paul. That's a pretty big deal. You fast forward from Acts chapter 15 into 2 Timothy chapter 4, and you have fast forwarded about 15 years or so, and Paul writes the last letter that we know he ever wrote, and he talks about John Mark in there being useful to him in the ministry. Something changed. What changed? What changed John Mark from being useless to being useful? Barnabas. The influence of Barnabas the encourager changed. Now, can I do that? Can I take somebody who is less than desirable and change, not because of me? Barnabas didn't do it because of him. He did it with and through and because of Christ. Think about Barnabas again. When Saul of Tarsus came to try to meet with the apostles, remember that? Converted in Acts chapter 9. I'm a Christian now. I'm an apostle. I'm going to go join the club. Knock, knock, knock. I heard this is the apostle club, and God has added me to the apostle club. Can I come in? Obviously, I'm being facetious. Those aren't the words, in case you're wondering. What did the other apostles say? Come on in. We've been waiting for you. Not so fast. Who made the difference to get the other apostles to lower their guard to accept Paul in? Barnabas. Can I do that? Are there times when perhaps there are individuals who are not so desirable, and yet does Christ desire them? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the various parts of the body and how some of them are not so desirable. Some parts are just, they're not as nice as other parts. Not as nice as other parts. What's my job to do with them? It's to make a difference with them. Let me give you at least one more. Now, I want to do two more real quick. I got like a minute, so I'll get these in real quick. Oh, leaven works slowly. Is that true? Do some people take a little more time to influence than others? Does that mean I need to stop? Not necessarily. Just keep on working. Leaven sometimes takes a little bit of time to work. This last quality of leaven is that leaven, just a little of it, can add its qualities to much. And this kind of ties in with what we were talking about a minute ago. But I want you to think about this. That first example up there about Jonah. God wanted to save the city of Nineveh. A city. He wants to save the city of Nineveh. How many people did he send?
One.
Did he send his best guy? I'm not sure he did. I mean, he sends a guy who doesn't go, and he goes in the opposite direction. Was Nineveh saved?
Yeah.
By one guy. How long was his sermon? Read the book of Jonah. It was a pretty short sermon. Jonah goes in, says what he's got to say, and it changes the course. What does that say about us? We look at the world, what can one person do? What did Jonah do? Change the course of a whole city. And eventually they were destroyed, but that's not on Jonah. I'm only one person, but can I make a difference? One-on-one, that's where my difference is. Any other thoughts about leaven tonight? There's just a lot of stuff in there. Wendell Winkler was a brilliant guy coming up with all this stuff. All right.